Phosphorus compounds are necessary in order to maintain the health of our nervous system. Phosphorus, when used for nerves, is termed lecithin. This strengthens the white stuff of the nervous system and the nervous tissue, which is found in the gray matter of the brain. Thus, if we lack phosphorus, we also lack brain power. Fish is a food rich in phosphorus and phosphates, that is why people say that fish is good food for the brain. Potassium. Potassium is a mineral which ensures that our muscles remain elastic. If one were without potassium, the intercostals and heart muscles would fail, and so this mineral is absolutely essential to the maintenance of life. Fortunately, the alkaline type which we need is present in most species of fruits and vegetables, and thus should cause no difficulty in acquiring a suitable supply. Sodium. Sodium of the alkaline variety is of benefit to human beings in addition to being of use in street lamps of the fluorescent type. Sodium is one of our most important products at the present time. Deficiency of sodium can actually cause diabetes, because its lack may be the instigator of paralysis of the islets of the pancreas. When these islets are paralyzed, the person is not able to break down the sugars and fats. Many people who suffer from diabetes would be helped by taking alkaline sodium in their diet. How to obtain alkaline sodium? Eat bananas, celery, lettuce, and a very prolific source of many minerals are chestnuts, preferably lightly boiled and roasted. If a person lacks sodium, he will also lack saliva, and there will be a paucity of bile and pancreatic juices. Sulfur. Sulfur is a mineral known to the witches of old. A dose of sulfur and brimstone used to work wonders for people in love. Sulfur is a very good blood tonic and conditioner. It was also given to animals so that their fur should be preserved, and for the same reason sometimes a lady will dust sulfur powder into the fur coat which she has laboriously obtained. The acid type of sulfur is essential for all cells of the body. It is an antiseptic of the blood cells, and it helps purify the cells around the intestines. Without an adequate supply of acid sulfur, one can be the victim of a weird and unpleasant collection of skin diseases. Sulfur also helps to make hair grow. This is not meant to be a learned treatise on diet, but should be read as notes intended to help you work out your own food problems. Throughout all my books, I say what I feel, what I consider to be fact. Possibly some people might think that fools rush in where angels fear to tread, but I know what I am doing, which most people do not. And I want to say this: man is an animal. Man has certain animal requirements. At present, because we have broken away from nature, and live in a civilized world where there are all manner of unnecessary jobs, we have to eat synthetic foods, messed up foods. Stuff which has been put through processes which kill off many of the most important constituents, vitamins have been rendered insoluble, and a lot of minerals have been filtered out. So let us be sensible: at our present stage of evolution we may have to eat a certain amount of meat, but we can still have our vegetables, our fruits, and our nuts. Let us not ruin our health by denying ourselves meat if the body needs it. Some people do not need it. For others it is essential. You can only let your conscience be your guide. Many people think that it is cruel to eat meat. According to Russian scientists who have used special equipment of an electronic nature, and have inserted probes into poor suffering plants, a cabbage can shriek with pain when it is cut. Scientists throughout the world have been doing researches into the reflexes and responses of fruits and vegetables, and it has been found that these do have sense reflexes which react to certain stimuli. If you are going to be logical, if you are so cranky that you will not eat meat, then why eat butter? Why drink milk? Think of this: to supply the milk which you are willing to drink, some poor wretched cow has had violent hands laid upon a rather sensitive portion of her anatomy. That portion has been rudely manipulated in order to separate the cow from the milk, in order to give you some pleasure. If you kill an animal for meat, it is done cleanly and instantaneously. But if you are going to take the view that this is unkind, well, why put a cow through the torture of being milked twice a day? And if you still insist that you will not destroy any life in order to eat, How about all the germs, all the bacteria, on a lettuce when you chew it? And how are you going to satisfy your conscience when you look at the lettuce leaf you have been chewing and find half a worm? Let us be sensible, let us eat that which is necessary to us at our present stage or level of development. We can always hope that with our continued evolution we shall be able to dispense with meat, synthetic foods, water with fluorides in it, air which has been contaminated, etc., and go back to nature, fig leaves, and wood. Then only shall we be ready to live on a purely vegetable and fruit diet. Otherwise if we become cranks, then we do not merely chew nuts, we are nuts. Supplement D. Exercises. Why you should not exercise. There is no doubt whatever that exercises and disciplines are a very popular feature of the writings of many authors. For that reason I thought that I should add a few notes stating why I am so definitely opposed to irresponsible exercises. Many, if not all, of the yogic exercises originated in the Far East, where people are taught and practice such things from babyhood up to the time of their death. These yogic exercises form quite an important part of what one might call the lower class Easterner's life. The higher trained adept does not use yogic exercises, they are not necessary for such people. The purpose of yogic exercises is to discipline the human body. When a person reaches the state when he can discipline his mind, then he has progressed far beyond the stage at which he needs to tie his legs around his neck while balancing on one thumb, or something like it. In my considered opinion, based on many years of observation, it is dangerous for the average middle-aged Western man or woman to suddenly, enthusiastically take up exercises which are suitable only for very supple-boned people, or those who have been trained from the very earliest days. For a person suffering from hardened arteries, or various other conditions, to take up exercises is both foolish and hazardous, and can lead to grave risk of impairing the health. Throughout my writings I have stressed the dangers of unsupervised exercises for the Westerner. If you want to do some exercises, do that suggested under neck, or a few simple and mild things, and practice the breathing exercises in supplement A. It is necessary for the unevolved occultist to master his or her body before being able to master his or her mind, in the same way that children may play with tops or hoops. But for those who have progressed beyond such elementary things, yogic exercises are a waste of time. In India and similar countries, the contortionist tying himself in knots, or who has held an arm above his head until it has atrophied, is not an adept, he is just a contortionist, a street performer, one who has little spirituality perhaps, one who has to make his living by doing these stage turns in much the same way as one can see buskers on the streets of big cities and outside theatres. The real adept does not give demonstrations, and, in fact, the real adept does not go in for these exercises. I have tried to warn you, so if you go in for the plough position, or some of these other things, and you get a crick in your back, that is your own fault. If, in disregarding this warning, you start to raise the kundalini and then cannot control it, well, you started it. My strong recommendation is that if you are more than 18 or 20 years of age, you should not indulge in any strenuous exercises or contortions unless you are thoroughly accustomed to these things, because it is painfully easy, and painful to suffer. To strain muscles, displace bones, and generally upset your health. So, if you are wise, leave these exercises unless you have some really genuine Eastern trained occultist who can help you and supervise you, and keep you from harm. Buddhism, as well as religion, can be a joyous thing if we will permit it to be so. But if we unnecessarily complicate it with all sorts of really stupid things, then we have only ourselves to blame for miseries which will surely come. The exercises given in this book, in fact, any exercise which I give, is safe and healthy, except when I tell you with a note of considerable derision that you should not attempt it, those which I tell you, in fact, to show you what others go in for. I hope that you enjoyed this book, and that it will bring you a lot of help, satisfaction, and health. kindness to publishers' department. Throughout the years since the third I first appeared, I have had a tremendous amount of mail, and up to the present I have always answered that mail. Now I have to say that I am no longer able to reply to any mail at all unless adequate return postage is enclosed. So please do not send letters to my publisher for forwarding to me, because I have asked my publisher not to forward any letters. People forget that they pay for a book and not a lifetime of free postpaid advisory service. Publishers are publishers, not a letter forwarding service. I have had letters from all over the world, even from well behind the Iron Curtain, but not one in several thousand people encloses return postage, and the cost is so much that I can no longer undertake replies. People ask such peculiar things too. Here are just some. There was a very desperate letter from Australia which reached me when I was in Ireland. The matter was, apparently, truly urgent, so at my own expense I sent a cable to Australia, and I did not even receive a note of thanks. A certain gentleman in the USA wrote me a letter demanding that I should immediately write a thesis for him and send it by return airmail. He wanted to use it as his thesis to obtain a doctorate in Oriental philosophy. Of course, he did not enclose any postage, it was merely a somewhat threatening demand. An Englishman wrote me a very, very haughty letter in the third person, demanding my credentials. And only if they were completely satisfactory to this person would he consider placing himself under my tuition, provided that there would be no charge for it. In other words, I was supposed to be honored. I do not think he would like my reply. Another one wrote to me and said that if I and my chums would come from Tibet and cluster around his bed in the astral at night, then he would be able to feel more happy about astral traveling. Other people write to me and ask me everything from high esoteric things, which I can answer if I want to how to keep hens and one's husband. People also consider that they should write to me just whenever they think they should, and then they get offensive if I do not reply by return airmail. I will ask you not to bother my publishers. In fact, I have asked them not to send on any letters to me because they are in business as publishers. For those who really do need an answer, although I do not invite letters, I have an accommodation address. I do not guarantee any reply, and if you use this address you will have to provide very adequate postage, because the letters will be forwarded to me and I shall have to pay, so I shall not be in a sweet enough mood to reply unless you have made my expense your expense. For example, it will cost me a dollar at least by the time forwarding charges are paid. TLR passed away in 1981, ed. Complete edition, the 24th of August 2013.